If you guys would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we're continuing our study here. Today we're going to be in verses 19 to 21. Today's topic, and really what we're talking about, what is coming up over the next few weeks, it's really going to be focusing on money, possessions, material things, needs. And really, Jesus is going to show us the dangers, the dangerous implications about wealth when it comes to self-indulgence and covetousness in our own hearts. So if you guys are there, would you please stand with me while we read Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Father, I just ask for a better understanding of this text here, as like we've talked about this morning, as we are so tempted to have idols and things like that when it comes to our possessions and our stuff and our wealth. So Lord, I just pray that you would really work in our hearts this morning as we go through your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so we're pretty far here in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and if you noticed, every subject that he has taught about, he kind of lays aside the existing teaching that are taught by the Pharisees, and this is because they were either low or inadequate or they're insufficient. So Jesus teaches in a way that reaffirms God's standard and what God's standard is for his people. He made it clear to the Pharisees that they were in some way, shape, or form, the Pharisees were rewriting things, they were changing rules, they were doing stuff, and this was all basically to suit themselves. So the problem was it wasn't just that it was insufficient or inadequate, but mostly it was ineffective. So as we covered several weeks ago, if you remember, in chapter 5, Jesus said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So then, through this sermon, Jesus has basically been showing us the real standard, and he does that in comparison to the Pharisees' standard. So at the beginning, you remember, we went through the Beatitudes where we talked about our characteristics, where we had to be poor in spirit, mourn over our sin. And then as he progresses, he calls us to be salt and light, and he wants us to have the right kind of viewpoint of ourselves when it comes to our relationship with the world. And then he wants us, like in Matthew 5:20, he gives us what the right viewpoint of God's law is. And at the end of chapter 5, we got into all the moral issues where we talked about things like lust and anger, and he says, if you remember, this was the, "You have heard it said," verses where Jesus clearly shows what you were teaching is wrong, because after one of all these laws or all these teachings that they said, Jesus says, "But I say to you." And then the past month or so, month and a half, I think we've been in chapter 6. Jesus has been teaching us about how we practice our righteousness through our giving, through our praying, and through our fasting. And one of the common things of all of this is you'll notice that The common theme is a motive inside. It's like an interior motive Jesus is getting at. In other words, he wants to know your heart attitude through all of this. So the standard set by the Pharisees, as we know, was just an outwardly, "Look how righteous I am" sort of standard. And we shouldn't really be surprised by this, because this sort of religion is practiced today. This is like really running wild in Christianity and other religions alone, where as far as Christianity goes, you see legalism, you see hypocrisy everywhere. But if you look at chapter 6, verses 4, 6, 18, what we've covered in the past month and a half, it's a common verse. It says, "Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you." So Jesus is teaching that the things that we do, things that we practice, they're not meant to impress people. It's so much about where the heart is at. And today's text is no different. Jesus wants us to know where our heart is at, where our viewpoint is at when it comes to our money, our wealth, our luxuries, our possessions, our treasures. He's asking, what is it that you treasure? When it comes to money, I've noticed, and just through reading, Jesus talks about money a lot in Scripture. So about 15% of what Jesus teaches is some sort of relation to money. And there's a statistic in the book of Luke, one out of every seven verses has to do with money in the book of Luke from Jesus' teaching. So why does he talk about money so much and not what this is really focused on today, but money, but in general, material things. He talks about this and what our relation is to them. Why does he talk about them so much? One of the reasons, well, we know that God has created everything, right? So really, everything belongs to God. And one of the reasons that we exist is God calls us to be good stewards of all the things that he provides for us. One of these things being money. And the fact is, when it comes to money, when it comes to our material possessions, people have a really hard time aligning their hearts with God's will when it comes to that. As we discussed this morning about idolatry, material things can be such a stumbling block when it comes to having the right heart attitude. Because back in the day of the Pharisees, it was a common belief that the more stuff that you had, the more wealth that you had, was all based on your righteousness. The holier you were, the more stuff that you had. So you can see how this would all become greed then. Because what better way would you get to for people to think that you were more righteous by having more stuff? And it was all a sham. It was all about greed. Pharisees were greedy. We know that. And this is very similar today when you think of prosperity gospel. You've probably all heard of the prosperity gospel. It's all about greed. It's all about money and possessions. And they cover it up with saying that all you have to have is the right amount of faith, and you can have all that your heart will desire. God will give you that. But the central focus of this religion becomes about your own selfish indulgence. It's not about an obedient faithfulness to God. It's all about a life of luxury. So when you think about luxury and self-indulgence, when you think about Old Testament kings, you have to think about Solomon. Solomon's a good example for how we should view this today. He was a very rich man. He was one of the richest in biblical times. He was known for being the wise king, but he was also known for just having massive amounts of stuff. 2 Chronicles talks about his wealth. In chapter 9, verse 20, it says, all of King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. Silver was not considered anything in the days of Solomon. So Solomon had so much wealth, so much silver. What he did is he flooded the land, so much silver that it was like almost as common as stone. It was nothing. It meant nothing. So you get this picture that Solomon had it all. All the wealth. But then he writes about it in Ecclesiastes. He kind of examines his self and all his self-indulgence. Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 11. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under the heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made for myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of the kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil that I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So in today's text, Jesus gives two different commands. They're basically the same command. One's kind of negative, or one is negative, one is positive. There's two choices, but there's only one right choice to make. You can either lay up for yourself treasure on heaven, or you can lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. So when it comes to money, wealth, possessions, material things, all of us in this room, we have got to have some sort of conviction when it comes to this, because by the world standards, here in America, everyone in this room is rich. This is probably not something that is new to us, right? We probably all heard this statistic, but the fact that you woke up this morning in your own bed, in your own home, or you probably walked by a refrigerator full of food, or that you went to your own private source of clean drinking water to get a drink, or especially that you drove here in a car, makes us, by the world's standards, pretty rich and wealthy. Now, even when you deal with our needs, the things that we need to live, the things that we need to sustain ourselves, or this makes us wealthy. But that's not what Jesus is talking about today. He's not getting at the issue of things that we need for everyday use, the things that we need to take care of our family, or money that we set aside for the future, or things to do to make wise investments, to be good stewards of God's money. What he's talking about here in this passage, what we want to focus on, is all the extra that we have, all the stuff that we accumulate and we end up stockpiling. Luxuries that we have that are so valuable, we end up just putting them in a room and we lock them away because we're never going to use them anyway. Things we stockpile. One big thing, we talk about money, we stockpile money. Right? We all have savings accounts of some sort. We save away money. So is Jesus saying that we shouldn't have a savings account? Is Jesus forbidding this? Should we just give away all of our stuff, sell it, give to the poor? Give away all our luxuries? So you don't think of this question much. I was going through it in my head and whether I should ask it or not, but it's almost like a rhetorical question. Should we just go sell all our stuff and give it away? Is that what Jesus is calling us to do? But I don't think the answer to this has to be yes. I don't think, yes, we should do this, we should sell all our stuff. But I think that it could be if that's what it would take. Because after all, that's what he told the rich young ruler to do. So if you guys care to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have done all these. I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. All this man was rich. All he wanted to do was know, "Jesus, what do I have to do to get into heaven? What do I have to do to get eternal life?" To which Jesus replied, you know the commandments. And then he listed off this set of commandments, some of them, and you just get this picture in your head, like this guy was just excited, like, yeah, I'm good, I kept all these. But he lacked one thing, Jesus said. Go sell all your possessions and give to the poor. Exodus 23:20, verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. It wasn't the fact that this man had all the material things and the wealth. This wasn't what was keeping him out of the kingdom of heaven. It was the fact that this man was so disheartened, it says, that he went away sorrowful because he couldn't bear the thought of giving his stuff away. All his earthly treasures. This is why I think the answer to the question, should you give all your stuff away? Could be yes, if that's what it takes. It's not necessary. And Jesus doesn't condemn possessions and savings accounts, but the reason he told the rich young ruler to do this was because all the things that he had stood in between him and God. All this was in the way, and until he got that out of the way, there wasn't going to be a connection there. So back to the commandment, Jesus says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth. And then he gives a reason why. He makes it clear why you shouldn't store up stuff on earth. Because moths and rust will destroy and thieves will break in and steal. Back in this day, wealth was not kept like the way we do it. So they kept their wealth by garments, by grains, by gold or other sort of precious metals. And they didn't have the structures or way to keep things as good as they do now. This is where the terms come from. They would pretty much hide their stuff in their house. They would dig holes in their floor, their dirt floors, and they would hide stuff. And in some translations, you use the word vermin instead of rust. So basically, the word means to eat. So you get the picture of people storing their stuff, animals, rats, moths, breaking in, eating the stuff. And along with garments, you know what happens when you store garments in a closet for a long time. You might open it up and moths fly out and you got holy garments. They would put their gold into bags, bury it, which thieves could lurk around and they could easily dig it up, or they could just dig into their mud homes and get in. The point was, or is, that we have no guarantee for the security or things that we possess. Because we, in fact, live in a world where everything that we have can either be eaten, lost, or stolen. Even if, though, you manage, you say, well, I could take precautions. I could buy mothballs. I could buy rat poison. Or I could have a security system and keep everybody out. Even if you manage to keep it all, when you die, it's not coming with you. So the question is, then, where is your treasure? Where is your heart? What was Jesus talking about when he says to not lay up for yourself treasures on earth? It's not hard to get a picture in your head or to figure this out. Jesus talks about money and possessions and wealth and material things in general a lot. So thankfully, fortunately, as far as materialism goes, Jesus gives us a lot of examples in Scripture to see this. And one of the parables that we can read is the parable of the rich fool. So if you want, flip in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, we're going to see the parable of the rich fool. Luke 12:13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully." And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store up my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and I will build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You have to notice Jesus talks about money, possessions a lot. Do you ever notice how much Jesus really harps on rich people? 6:20, he says, Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Woe to you rich, for you have received your consolation. Then again in Luke 14:33, whoever does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke 18:25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And then you have the story of the rich fool that we just read, or the rich young ruler. You have a lot of stories, so it's no wonder some people think that they have to go out and sell their possessions, that they have to have nothing, bare bones. But like I said before, Jesus doesn't condemn us for being rich. He's not telling us that we have to give all of our stuff away. It's not wrong to have possessions. And we also have Proverbs. If you ever read through the Proverbs, you talk positively about wealth. Proverbs 14:23, in all the toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. In other words, if you want to be rich, you're going to have to work. 21:20, precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. This says that wise men know how to save up and plan for the future. Proverbs 24:3-4, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all the precious and pleasant riches. And 28:19, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul tells us that we are supposed to be diligent about providing for our family, and if we're not, we're worse than an unbeliever. So, it's kind of confusing. Maybe, on one hand, Scripture commends you for being prosperous, but then you have stuff like Jesus saying, well, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. So what's the message, and what is he getting at? And the key word to understanding this, and it's in the passage we read today, and then the passage of the rich young ruler, is laying up for yourselves treasure on earth. Keyword, yourself. So this is the godless, the self-accumulation of things that we hoard, which is accompanied by greed, love of money, desire to have an abundance of selfish luxury. And here's the thing, though, is maybe you have a lot of stuff and you don't struggle with this. But somebody else has a lot of stuff and they look no different than your life, but they struggle with it. The difference is how you perceive things, how you view your material stuff in your house. The difference between you and that person is how you value your things. So it's not wrong to seek the things that you need in life. It's not wrong to provide your family's needs or to save up so you can plan for the future. It's not wrong to make wise investments. The Lord commends us to do these things. But it is wrong to be greedy with it. It is wrong to be covetous. Don't store up things for yourself on this earth. Don't desire a life of luxury, because in the end, moths and rust can destroy. People will break in and steal your stuff. Proverbs 23:4-5, do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. There's no security in the material things that we have in this world. And I don't think that's a hard concept to understand. Like, deep down, we know there's no security, right? And in the end, what are you really going to take with you? Your stuff might get stolen or destroyed or eaten or whatever. But as mad as this might make you, as upset as this might make you, this is no comparison to the real implication that is going on. Think back to the parable of the rich fool. God said, Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You can selfishly amass stuff in this world. You can hoard stuff. You can be greedy with it. You can be covetous. Your heart's desire can be to gain the whole world, and you can do that. But you can't do that and be rich towards God. Mark 8:36 says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" The book of James, chapter 5, gives us a warning to the rich. "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidenced against you, and you will eat your flesh, and they will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you." So we see what Jesus says not to do in this command. He says, don't lay up treasure in heaven or treasure on earth. Instead, lay up for it yourself in heaven. And the reason why is because there are no moths or rust to destroy. There is no thief that's going to break in and steal. So lay it up in heaven. So how do you do that? We got a pretty good visual how we can lay up and store stuff in here on earth, because we all probably have a tendency to do this. So how do we store it up in heaven then? Paul writes about it in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 19. "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold on that which is truly life." This passage is directed towards us because we know by the world's standard, we all here are rich. So Paul tells us what we should do with the wealth that we have. But first he says what not to do with it. He says, don't be haughty. Don't be proud of it. Don't flaunt it around. And don't put your trust in it. Instead, do good with it. You do good with it through your good works, he says. And through your good works, he means that you should be ready to share your wealth. You should be ready to distribute it. So this doesn't mean that we're justified in any way by our good works, because we know that our justification is through faith alone, and our good works are never going to be good enough to get us into heaven or to merit any kind of reward. Our rewards are given to us by God's grace. But by doing good, by having good works, by being obedient to Christ, we are treasuring up treasure in heaven. And there is nothing that is more valuable than obedience to Christ, because its value is eternal. God's kingdom is forever. So we lay up ourselves treasure in heaven by giving away what the world sees as earthly treasure. And this is hard to do for people, because especially rich people, they take comfort in their possessions. They make idols out of them. They put their hope and trust in things that they have accumulated. Exactly like what Paul said not to do. Take comfort in the things that you have. When it comes to material things and wealth, a lot of people, like I said already, they have a hard time aligning their hearts with God's will. Like, does God really want me to give? Does God really want me to give this away? And that makes it easier to understand the concept of the whole camel going through the eye of a needle thing. You could see how hard it would be for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle, right? So a rich person who's greedy, you can see the relation there. It's if you can't let go of your stuff. The Bible tells us so many places that we should give to the poor, that we should give to the needy, and not just give a little, but says be liberal, be generous with how you give, which would make it even harder for the one who's already having a hard time giving. Thought might cross their mind, and this will come up in this short little study down the road, is what if I need this? Anxiety might enter their mind because they might need some of that stuff. Oh, I might need that money. I might need this extra $1,000 or whatever it is you've been saving up. But God tells us not to have anxiety, whatever we need, instead have faith because he will provide for our needs. So it tells us, the Bible tells us many times that we're to give, but it doesn't just say that you're going to give and this is commanded to you. It's also accompanied by the fact that when we do give, we are going to be happy. Giving makes you happy. Jesus says that it's better to give than it is to receive. Proverbs 11:24, one who gives freely yet grows all the richer, another withholds what he should give, only suffers want. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Proverbs 22:9, whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. 1 Timothy 6:9, but those who desire to be rich fall in temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And Matthew Henry, he has a very meaningful statement when it comes to riches. He says, a man takes great pains to heap up riches, and they are like heaps of manure in the they are like heaps of manure in the furrows of the field, good for nothing unless they are to be spread. What we need to understand, and it's not an uncommon thing to understand this. It's been brought up through all kinds of stuff, media, and you see it in your personal life. You see it in Hollywood, but there's no positive connection between having a lot of stuff, being very wealthy. These two things are never going to positively correlate to being happy. Like I said, the famous people or people who win the lottery, you always see these lives, the people end up being plunged into ruin and despair and destruction, as Paul says. So don't lay up for yourself treasure on earth. Instead, lay them up in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Clearly, this is a big heart issue. Jesus wants us to have the right viewpoint on our wealth and our possessions. Basically, all the extra stuff that we can accumulate and we don't really need. Jesus wants us to have the right heart attitude. Where's your heart at? Wherever your affections are, that is going to determine how you perceive everything. And if your heart is in the right spot, you are going to be laying up treasure in heaven. So that's what it's all about. In these few verses, Jesus is calling us to examine ourselves. It's really just a good passage to read through and examine your own hearts. When Jesus asks where your heart is, he's asking, where is that point of ultimate concern that really grips your life? Where is your ultimate commitment? Is it to your success, your wealth, your prestige? And the fact is, Jesus isn't asking this so he can know. Jesus knows your heart. That's why it's self-examination, because he wants you to know your heart. Is your heart in commitment to the things of the world? Are you laying up treasure here where it can be destroyed and stolen? Or are you laying up treasure in heaven for the kingdom of God, which is everlasting? The truth is, when you say this, maybe a thought crosses your mind, well, I'll have treasure here and up in heaven. People don't understand this. They want to, but it cannot be both. We'll see more of that next week. So until then, examine your hearts. What's your attitude towards the material things of this world? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the message on this topic, that for many of us, the material can be a stumbling block. So I thank you for a clear word in this and how we are supposed to view our possessions, our wealth. Lord, I just pray that we could actually put this command to practice and know that it's not just you that's trying to deprive us from money and riches, but that you are trying to reward us eternally by living this way. So help us to lay up treasure in heaven by being obedient servants to Christ. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that we know the fullness of the eternal glory that is our dividend, that is our return when we lay up treasure in heaven. Lord, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.